Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Betting Pros Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined, as I have been the last couple of weeks, by my good friend and betting expert in college basketball. It's PJ Glasser of BetQL. PJ, we are here. It is the Final Four this upcoming weekend, and I will give you a moment here. Your Crimson Tide are in the Final Four for the first time in school history. How are you feeling?
Feeling great, Worm. I would have felt a lot better if I had bet on them to make it to the Final Four. You know what I mean? I didn't think they'd get past UNC. I didn't think they would beat Clemson either. I thought that was going to be Arizona in that Elite Eight game. But I can't believe it. This is why the tournament is the best. You know, I feel like they've had way better teams the last 3 or 4 years. They were the number one overall team in the tournament last year. They were a 2 seed 2 years before that. And those teams got out in the Sweet 16. And now here's this team who still on KenPom rank over 100 on defense, but it's that offense that's carrying them with those 3-pointers. And it's incredible. I can't remember a time where I'm really in the Final Four where we've had two games where it feels like we're just on a collision course with UConn and Purdue, right? And you know that just the way college basketball works, it just like one of these underdogs, it feels like is going to give one of these favorites a game, right? We don't know which one. We don't know how close it's going to be. But like, you just feel like either Bama or NC State is going to keep it close with one of these favorites. So
it's interesting because like, I think UConn is better than Purdue, but Bama is better than NC State. So it's like the better underdog is matched against the better favorite.
Right.
And I would, if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Bama just because you can make the case maybe they hit 23s. Cause like that, this is an offense that is capable of like, you can just go toe to toe because they're not going to stop UConn at all defensively, but maybe they just get really hot from three and that gives them a shot. Like it's harder for me to make the case, I think, with NC State. Before we dive into the Final Four, I want to ask you if there are any other takeaways from this past weekend, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, that really stood out to you as a major surprise or a development that you really didn't see coming.
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for me, Worm, is it doesn't matter how big a favorite you are. It doesn't matter how talented you are. When you get into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, if you don't hit shots, you're going to go home, right? We saw that with Marquette. Saw that with Duke. We saw that with Arizona. We saw that with a bunch of these teams that are really good offenses, but all it takes is one off night and you can go home. So I think that was my takeaway, right? It felt like there were a ton of games. Illinois, certainly you could throw in there too. I mean, when UConn went on that 30-0 run, we're talking about like elite offenses like Duke, Marquette, Arizona. Like these teams are top 10 in the country in offense and had abysmal night shooting. So I think that was really the big takeaway, right? It's not like these teams really had bad looks. It's not like these shots were contested. They were just missing open shots. Yeah. So we know basketball sometimes it's just, I mean, it's as easy as who makes shots and who misses shots. And it felt like that really decided a bunch of these games and these teams that we have in the Final Four, you know, I mean, a bunch of them, certainly Bama hit their shots in their last two games. Purdue was great on offense against Gonzaga, was better in the second half against Tennessee. NC State, fantastic second half against Duke. And then UConn, I mean, just all levels, offense and defense, was fantastic.
I was not able to watch Saturday. I had something come up, but I was following the UConn-Illinois game as best I could. And I literally looked at it, and it was 28-23. And then the next time I looked, because I wasn't able to check my phone for a while, it was 53-23. And I was like, is there a typo? Like, how is that even possible? Because I hadn't watched the run. And I went back and watched it later, and it was just like jaw on the floor. Like they didn't do that against, you know, Stetson. They did that against Illinois in the Elite Eight. It's really one of the most remarkable things I think I've ever seen in a college basketball game. To your point about like the making shots and stuff, it seemed like that was how Clemson was advancing, was they kept getting teams not making their shots against them. And, you know, I kept picking against Clemson every single round and it kept backfiring because Arizona would just go cold and keep on firing and it wasn't working. Before we get into the Final Four, are there any lessons you feel like you learned from who these Final Four teams are in terms of how you would bet the tournament next year, in terms of how you would fill out a bracket next year? just in terms of as a fan, like, this is something I would remember going forward. Are there any lessons learned from this group of Final Four teams and how the tournament has played out to date?
It's a good question. I think something that I try and take with me year to year when I'm picking my Final Four is that every year, Worm, when we get to this point, it's never the four teams that everybody think it's going to be, right? I mean, you could throw out like a couple of different scenarios of who people liked, but for a majority, it was either UConn-Auburn, it was Arizona-UNC, it was Houston-Duke-Marquette-Kentucky, or it was Purdue-Gonzaga-Tennessee-Creighton, right? It was like a majority of like those kind of four teams. Very few had NC State, not a lot had Bama. So that's the way it goes. I know when people are filling out a bracket, and certainly people like us who watch the regular season of college basketball, you're going through these games and you're like, I know I'm not supposed to pick the games that everybody else, but it's like, who's going to beat Arizona in the bottom half of this region? Like, who's going to like upset, you know, like these kinds of things. So, I mean, that's the beauty of the tournament. That's the beauty of these one and done games. So it's different year after year, the kind of teams that we get that go into the Final Four. I will say with the new era that we're in with college basketball, it is interesting that the last 2 years we have had teams like Miami and Bama kind of make it to the tournament, right? So I would say maybe those are something to look out for. I think everybody thought that team that was great on offense this year and wasn't good on defense that to make the Final Four was going to be Kentucky. Yeah. So historically in the tournament, I mean, those kind of teams, like if you're that bad on defense, like Miami and Bama were, you usually don't get this far. So the fact it's happening back-to-back years, obviously this era with the transfer portal and with offenses and with all the three-pointers that we get, if these teams like Miami last year surviving the Drake game, Bama this year surviving the Grand Canyon game, those teams, when they have those games where they're not good on offense, if they're able to survive that, you see the end result. I mean, their offenses, they're good enough to compete with anybody. And if they're hitting their shots, it can take them all the way to the Final Four. So probably my two biggest takeaways, right? Never pick the same four teams that everybody picked because it never happens that way. And then, you know, I'm not necessarily saying next year to take one of these Bama Miami type teams, but certainly something to keep an eye on. And I think we have to take those kind of teams a little more seriously moving forward because, I mean, they've shown us that this is kind of the new era of hoops. Like, if you can score, you can beat anybody. You might not win the championship, but you can make it to the Final Four.
And realistically, it's almost like three teams made their first Final Fours. I know Purdue and NC State made them in the early 80s, but it was an entirely different sport back then, really. It, you know, considering how long it's been for them, tournament expanded since then, right? I mean, it was just a different game back when Purdue was 1980 and NC State 1983, I think. And obviously everybody, you know, has seen clips of that NC State 83 run. So, you know, we're familiar that they have been there before, but really a different game back then. And of course, Bama never having made it before. And then going up against the team that just won it all last year and looks like another behemoth. You know, it is funny, like in terms of filling out the bracket, I'm never going to be the guy who takes the number one overall seed because too many people are going to take it. It just feels like you're not going to win your bracket taking UConn, you know, as they were this year. And then the one seed that I was like, I didn't really love UNC more than Purdue, but it was like, how can you pick Purdue given what we've seen from them in the past? Right. And I really liked Tennessee, Creighton, Gonzaga. Like, there was a lot of teams in that region that I was a big fan of. So, you know, I think a lot of people were probably similar to me in that, you know, they picked against Purdue, and then they had UConn maybe in the Final Four, but then not winning it all because that's – you got to pick against them to win it all. And now it's just them versus the field in such a major way. You're right. It does really feel like a collision course between UConn and Purdue, and that should be a fun game. I mean, Purdue might be the team that to finally give UConn a game in the last two tournaments, really. I mean, it's really remarkable what they've done two marches in a row. Let's dive into how we're going to be betting the Final Four this upcoming weekend. We'll start with your guys. Number one, UConn, going up against your team, not UConn. Number four, Bama. Really, really fun offensively. Like, could be a very exciting, fun back-and-forth game. Plus 11.5 for Bama. The total's at 161.5. You know, UConn, very, like, contrasting styles in terms of the tempo that these, you know, the number of possessions these two teams want to get out in a game, but both very efficient offensively. If you were interested in the money line, it's, you know, Bama plus 525. I think that's probably not the smartest play, although that line in the Final Four is pretty ridiculous, to be quite honest. How are you betting this one?
So, Worm, this is probably my favorite bet of the Final Four. I'm going to take UConn's team total over 86.5 points. Because of Bama, there is so much that's kind of dictated off if they hit their three-pointers or not, right? Spread and total. Like, UConn, sure, you look at it on the surface, they're beating everybody by 30 points. They've led at some point in every tournament game by 30 in this tournament, which is just insane. But, like, if Bama hits their threes, they can hang around. And this game will go over the total. At the same time, if Bama doesn't hit their threes, UConn will cover the spread easily, and the under probably hits. So I don't want to bet the spread, and I don't want to bet the total, because so much of it is predicated off Bama knocking down their shots. And obviously, in a Final Four setting, you're shooting now in an NFL stadium, all these different sight lines. Like, it's just a very different kind of feel. The one thing that I think we can really hang our hat on in this game is the fact that UConn's going to score points. They've been to the Final Four. They're scoring on everybody. Even though Bama has made it to the Final Four and their offense has been great, Worm, in three of their four games, they've still given up 82 points or more to Clemson, to UNC, to Charleston, right? Think about their non-conference schedule this year. I know we talked about this on the last pod when they played Creighton and Arizona and Purdue and all these good teams that got them ready for Carolina. All of those games were in the 80s too. So we don't know what Bama offense is going to show up. I think if they made 6 or 7 three-pointers against UConn's defense, it wouldn't shock anybody. At the same time, they could knock down 16 or 17 threes, and it wouldn't shock anybody. But I think the one thing that we can kind of point to and say that we're going to get in this game is UConn's going to score. So I like that team total over for the Huskies at 86.5.
Is there a player matchup that you're particularly intrigued by in this game? Is it Castle guarding Sears? Is it Newton Sears, like, scoring and dishing it out head to head? Is it just what can Klingon do against this front line? Like, what is there one guy on either side that you think, maybe not it's the X factor, because I think we would both imagine UConn would win this game regardless, but that you think could have, like, a particularly great day, or who, if they do have a poor day, could swing things?
Two things I'm interested in. I want to see how Bama handles Klingon inside, right? I want to see if they just play him one-on-one with Pringle, if they bring help off of maybe Castle's defender, because obviously you can't leave Cam Spencer, you can't leave Newton. So I want to see that chess match. I also want to see Dan Hurley did a fantastic job adjusting at halftime. Marcus Domas was killing him in the first half, right? He was using his size, and he was backing down Newton and Diarra and some of the smaller guards on UConn. So what does he do at halftime? He puts Caravan. He puts Castle. He puts more size on Domas and completely takes him out of rhythm. So some of these Bama guards, Mark Sears and Aaron Estrada especially, I want to see the chess match. Who Hurley decides to put on some of these defensive assignments. My guess is that he's going to put more size on Sears. I think he's going to have probably Newton follow around Rylan Griffin, who comes more so off screens. He's more of a one-on-one player, where Sears, they kind of like to move him around. I'm guessing Castle is probably going to be on Sears. And then, you know, who do they put on Grant Nelson? I'm thinking they're probably going to go with Caravan. That would be my guess. But just the chess match to see kind of who these guys come out with early as their defensive matchups and how they kind of mix and match throughout the game is something I'm going to be interested in. But that's what makes UConn so tough, is that their wings can just guard so many different positions. And if there's a matchup that Bam is exploiting early, Hurley's going to adjust, and he's going to put one of his other defenders on one of those other guards for Bama. So that's what I'm interested in, kind of what Bama's defensive game plan against Klingon is, and also who Hurley decides to match up with Bama's guards, who he decides to guard Sears and Estrada as well.
They really just, like, they have an answer for everything. Like, it's really remarkable. You just watching UConn play, and when they need to make adjustments, which is not often because they keep blowing these teams out, but when they do, it's just like, okay, yeah, we have another answer. We have another option we can turn to. It's fine. It just feels like every other people have used this word too. It just feels so inevitable. It's like, I want there to be suspense, right? Like, I want this to be a really fun Final Four. I'm on the edge of my seat, but it just currently does not feel that way. If I force you to pick against the spread in this game, are you laying the points with UConn, or are you taking the points with Bama?
God, it's so tough. It's so tough not to bet UConn until, like, they don't show
you the I don't know how you don't lay the points with UConn from what we've seen. Like, again, Bama could surprise and hit a bunch of threes and stuff, but I just, I don't know how you can do anything other than lay the points with UConn. I don't even care what the number is, honestly. Like, what would the number have to be for you to definitively take Bama? How high would the number have to go? It's pretty high for me.
Probably have to be like 17 or 18 and a half, I would think. You know what I mean? Like, you'd have to get some room there. Worm, does this game, does it give you any kind of feel? This Final Four to me kind of feels like, are we headed to where we were in 2001, where Gonzaga is viewed as UConn, Baylor is Purdue, where most of us kind of perceive UConn to be the best team. We all thought Gonzaga was the best team, but Baylor was always there with them that year. Purdue's kind of always been there with them that year. Baylor had never done it before. I know Gonzaga hadn't either, but Baylor had never done it before. Obviously, Purdue under Painter has not as well. And then it's like, I wonder if this Bama-UConn game is going to be like Gonzaga and UCLA was. Gonzaga was favored by 14.5 in that game. Evan Abrams from the Action Network dropped a great stat. He said since 2000, UConn entering the Final Four is the highest priced team right now to win it all at minus 190. Gonzaga in 2021 was the only team that was the bigger favorite. So right now I'm wondering, like, because of Bama's offense and their shot making, if this is just going to be one of those like 98, 96, like instant classics where they give UConn a game. Because think about it too. So many times in sports, a lot of times it's the semifinal game where these teams that look unbeatable go down, right? You can go all the way back to the Miracle on Ice. You can go back to last year in the women's tournament when Iowa beat South Carolina, or when Mississippi State beat UConn years ago. And it's like a lot of times it's that semifinal game.
Kentucky losing to Wisconsin in 2015, same thing.
Another great example. So again, we're all trying to figure out, like, who is the kind of team to beat UConn? Is it a team that's great defensively that wants to muck it up? Is it a team like Bama that can score 100 points? Like, who is the kind of team? I don't have an answer to it, but I'm just like, I don't know. This Final Four is like drawing parallels to me, kind of like that Gonzaga-Baylor Final Four, where it's like we've had two great teams all year. They're on a collision course for the final. And of course, Baylor blew out Houston. That was the easy semifinal game. And Gonzaga-UCLA was that close game. I just think a lot of people are going to look at the semifinal. They're going to look at this NC State team as the team of destiny, and they're probably going to like that dog, whereas nobody is going to want to bet against UConn. And I wonder if Bama's the dog that kind of just gives them a game.
That is a really fascinating parallel from, what, 3 years ago? That is really intriguing to me. The Gonzaga-Baylor parallel to UConn-Purdue. And it's a shame, really, because Houston could have been in that conversation as one of the not just two best teams, but three best teams in the country. If, you know, Shed getting hurt, obviously. You know, you were all over Houston over Duke, and it looked like you were right, and then Shed gets hurt and everything changes, which what can you do? I think that's a fascinating parallel. It would be really intriguing to see UConn-Purdue. Let's talk quickly about the Purdue-NC State game. I would certainly expect Purdue to win this. The line is lower than it is for Bama-UConn. I'm more confident, I feel like, in Purdue beating NC State and maybe even beating them badly than I am UConn-Bama, just because there's that element of if Bama gets hot from three. The spread is 9. The total is 146. NC State, if you think the Cinderella story continues, plus 340 on the money line. Is there an angle to this game that you like from a betting perspective? And are you with me that, like, we're pretty confident? Listen, DJ Burns is super fun, and maybe he can score on Zach Edey. He cannot stop Zach Edey. I feel like Edey could drop 50 in this game if he wants to, the way NC State is built. So, I mean, what do you make of this one from a betting angle?
One of my coworkers, Worm, here at the BetQL Network, Ken Barkley, who does his show You Better You Bet, has a great saying. And his saying in the tournament is, anyone can win 4, but it's impossible to win 6. And I think you're seeing that again with NC State. Like, we've seen magical rides throughout the tournament where I think this is now the 6th or 7th, 11th seed that we've had make it to the Final Four. None of them have won in the semifinal round. None of them made it to the title game. And, like, again, think about all the breaks that NC State got, right? They didn't have to play Kentucky in the second round. Jamal Shedd got hurt. They didn't have to play Houston in the Elite Eight. Like, sometimes you just get a great draw. Also, I mean, the shooting that some of these teams had that they played against, Duke was 5 for 20 from 3-point range yesterday, and McCann hit like 2 at the end. So really, they were like 3 for 18 that game. Marquette, as we all know, was 4 for 31 from 3. Texas Tech was 7 for 31. The one team that shot the ball well against NC State was Oakland. They shot it pretty well from 3, 12 for 35. That game went to overtime as a 14 seed, right? So Purdue, it felt like, had their bad offensive game against Tennessee. They were 1 for 7 in the first half from 3, where Tennessee was 7 for 11, and Purdue was still up at half by 2 in that game. It's just like Purdue is such a good three-point shooting team. Is NC State really going to continue being this lucky where teams are missing their shots? Clemson was kind of the best beneficiary of that too, right? They were playing all these great offenses, and then finally they ran into a team in Bama who started hitting their shots, and they go home. So again, a lot of people are going to have this team a destiny feel for NC State, and I was right there with them all the way through till the Final Four. But this is where kind of those magical rides always seem to end. So I just think unless Purdue has like a 3 for 30 kind of night from 3-point range, I do like them a lot, minus the 9.5. I think this is going to be the semifinal game where we see a blowout, if I had to guess.
I agree with you. As you know, I like to bet. I put $10 on either spread, total, or money line in every game of the tournament. Just fun, a little added enjoyment. Obviously, you know, obviously everybody bets the tournament, but I force myself to pick one bet on every single game, even if I don't feel confident about it. This is not one of those where I don't feel confident. I am very happily laying the points with Purdue. I think they smash them. And I haven't been betting against them a lot this tournament, but like I didn't pick them in any of my brackets. I've been always kind of in the back of my head, like rooting a little for like Gonzaga or Tennessee and kind of hoping they win and maybe picking them like for fun, but not like officially putting money on it. This one, I just don't see a way Purdue doesn't win this game by 15 plus. And that's not a knock on NC State, but there's a reason Keats was likely to get fired. There's a reason they needed to win 5 games in 5 days to make the tournament. I think the luck runs out eventually. I think the clock will strike midnight, whatever cliche you want to use. And Purdue is just really, really good. And I think it was that first half against Tennessee, like you alluded to, the fact that everything went right for Tennessee and Purdue is still up 2. I don't think everything is going to go right for NC State. I think Purdue is going to be up by a lot more at both halftime and the end of that game. So Purdue, let me ask you this before we touch on Purdue UConn as a theoretical championship game and then get out of here. If you had to pick one combination, both that you think could happen and that you think you would want to see happen, and excluding your fandom of Bama, because obviously you're going to want to see Bama. If it's some combo in the championship that's not UConn Purdue, what are you hoping to see, and what are you thinking is at least a possibility of seeing?
I mean, I think Purdue-Bama would be great. Those teams played earlier this year in Toronto, and it was one of the best regular season games. That first half that they had when Bama was up 49-47 was very similar to like that UNC-Bama game that we saw in the Sweet 16. Both teams just trading threes. Unbelievable offense on both sides. And Purdue ran with them in that game. So I think they'd run with them in the title game too. And I just think from a viewing standpoint, that'd be really fun. But like Bama NC State, I think would be cool too. Or actually UConn NC State, I think would be awesome, where it's your true David Goliath. It's the ultimate team of destiny versus this just absolute juggernaut in UConn, and trying to pick like, does the team of destiny, do they just like really do it? Like, do they really win this game? And it really would give us like, again, like Jimmy V flashbacks to 1983, having to win the ACC tournament, getting into the tournament, going all the way to the championship. They played Houston that year with like, oh, Clyde Drexler and Akeem Olajuwon, pretty good. And now you're facing this UConn team. So I think UConn NC State, actually, now that I think about it, just from that, just like the best team against the team of destiny would be awesome. But from a pure basketball, like getting to watch Alabama and Purdue play again, I think would be super fun too.
I mean, genuinely, PJ, if it's UConn NC State, like what does that line need to be for you to take NC State? I mean, honestly, it would need to be in the 20s for me to even consider it. And I probably even then might not even take it. Like, and you know, Team of Destiny can sometimes prove wrong all the metrics and all the you know, eye test and everything we've watched this tournament. But like, it would be fun narratively. I think UConn would win that game by 25 plus.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't bet. Let me put it this way. I'd either bet NC State money line or I'd lay it with UConn, right? Like, I don't think that's a game UConn wins by seven. I think either you ride the team of destiny and you bet them to win, or to me, that would be like the Georgia TCU national championship game in college football. It'd be 14.5 points, would be my guess, just like that game was. And Georgia won that game 63-7, and everybody thought TCU was the team of destiny. So I think it'd be similar. Like, UConn would win by 40, or NC State would win it outright, and there wouldn't be anything in between.
So let's briefly preview a theoretical UConn-Purdue matchup, since that's what we're thinking is very likely. Is this game won through defense? Klingon can actually go toe-to-toe with Edie, although Edie, I think, plays a lot more minutes than Klingon does. Is it won by offense? You know, Purdue gets hot from three, and, you know, UConn is really good but can't quite keep up. I mean, how does this game play out? What do you think the line would be? Which side do you think you prefer to bet? What would be your kind of quick breakdown if that is, in fact, the championship game we get?
So I think UConn would probably be 5.5, 6.5 point favorites in the game, obviously depending on how the semifinal game goes. Worm, to me, I think the key to the game would be how Purdue matches up in the second half against UConn, right? We've seen people kind of be competitive with UConn in the first half. We've seen them have some close games in the first 20. It's these runs in the second half that are just, it's very like Warriors-like. When they were going through their dynasty, and we'd always talk about that Warriors third quarter. Like, it's that UConn run is always coming. And it's not like it comes in the final five, six minutes of the game. It always comes in like the first two, three. And that's, they're up 16 points. And you're like, this game was literally just close like 5 minutes ago. So to me, that would be the key, because I think Purdue would keep it close for the first 20. I think both teams obviously would kind of feel each other out. They'd ease themselves into it. I think Edie would be great. I think UConn would be great, but it's that second half, man. Like, that's where UConn gets these teams. They just blow away. So that would be the key. Could Purdue, if they're able to keep it close in the first 20, can you survive that first 5 or 6 minute stretch in the second half where UConn is so dominant? Because that's the thing, again, going back to that Gonzaga team in 2021, Worm, nobody played Gonzaga close that year. Like, we were just begging for Gonzaga to play a team close. UCLA finally did in that Final Four game, and then Baylor beat Gonzaga. It's like, can somebody just play UConn close, like midway through the second half? And that would be the challenge for Purdue.
If I take Bama off the table, because obviously you're biased, who do you want to win this championship?
Ooh, who do I want to win this championship? I think I would want Purdue, because I bet them. That'd be nice. I mean, NC State would be an incredible story, but more often than not in March Madness, like, I do want the best teams to win it. So I would probably say Purdue, I think, just because them and UConn are the two best, I feel like. And Matt Painter's had some really, really good teams, and they're more than due. You know, in sports, like, these teams that consistently get one seeds, consistently get themselves to this spot, it'd be like if Gonzaga was in this spot. Like, if the Zags were in the Final Four, I'd like to see Mark Few win one. So if Bama can't do it, I think I'd be pulling for Purdue to get the win.
See, for me, because I am a bitter, jealous fan, like, I would root for UConn. It's like when Kansas is there. It's like, I don't want to let another coach. We already know UConn's really good, and Hurley's a good coach, and is, you know, on this like kind of elite tier track, especially if he gets back to back titles. Like, okay, what's one more to them, right? Like, I don't want to let another Big Ten team. I'm a Maryland guy. I don't want another Big Ten team win. But I take your point on that. If they do win, if Purdue wins, where does Zach Edey rank on the all-time pantheon of college careers? Because you're talking about back-to-back, you know, National Player of the Years. Like, likely, was he unanimous last year, and certainly will be this year? I mean, like back-to-back unanimous National Players of the Year, capping it off with a title, the first title for your school in decades, or, you know, like, first time for the coach, like, ever. Like, where does that career rank in terms of college athletes? Because that's got to be up there.
I mean, since the 2000s, he certainly would be in the top five. I'm sure I'm missing guys, but, like, the names that come to mind are Kemba, Carmelo, Anthony Davis. Like, I mean, you put him in that tier with those guys.
But, like, Melo and Davis were one-year guys. Like, Edie gets multiple National Players of the Year. It's
right.
It's really remarkable. We'll make our official picks and get out of here. I think we're going to have similar official picks, but to kind of highlight how expected that outcome is of UConn over, UConn and Purdue in the title game, to pick the exact result right now on DraftKings, it's a minus number for UConn to beat Purdue. And we don't even have them in the championship game yet. And it's just, it's minus 120 UConn over Purdue, plus 320 Purdue to beat UConn. And then everything else is a lot higher. If is it just UConn minus 195 or Purdue plus 205, there's no real value to betting these plus 1600s on the other two, right?
Yeah, no value. NC State and Bama will not win the championship. We alluded to it a little bit earlier in the podcast. You can win four games in the tournament. It's impossible to win six if you're NC State and Bama. It just doesn't happen. I did a video on BetQL before the tournament. I had found all these historical trends of teams that could win it, and we came down to two teams that could win the whole thing. Houston and Purdue were those two teams. The criteria that UConn didn't fit was since 1990, a team that only has three teams from their conference has not won a national championship. So the Big East only had three teams in. We'll see if UConn can buck that trend. But Purdue crossed everything off the list. Every single one, them and Houston were the two teams. So I'm going to stick with that, Worm. I'm going to be contrarian here and go with Purdue to win the whole thing. I think it is Purdue and UConn. But I mean, look, if UConn wins the whole thing, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm sticking with my theory, though. Like, I'm getting Gonzaga-Baylor vibes from this. Where
that parallel I can't shake now. That Gonzaga, that's a really good one.
It would be the same kind of spread where UConn would be favored by, like, 5.5. And, I mean, Purdue matches up well with them. Like, Edie and Klingon head-to-head. Purdue's got tons of shooters on the outside. Like, they want to play it a slow game, Purdue can play that. They want to play it a track meet, Purdue can play that. So that's what I'll go with. I think it's Purdue's year, Worm. I think they're going to win it.
That is a really compelling argument. When the brackets first came out, and we did a couple of shows that first week, I asked both you and Team Rankings' Jason Lisk, is this UConn versus the field, or is it just UConn's a favorite? And the answer was no, it's not UConn versus the field. They're the favorite, but there's a lot of really good teams. It sure feels like it should have been UConn versus the field, the way they have looked, the way this thing has played out. I am really tempted by your case for Purdue, and I think you might end up being right, but I'm just going to say it's UConn. It'll be UConn-Purdue in the championship game, and I'm going to say I'll take UConn because I've yet to see a reason why they won't blow everybody out. And I think there's a really, really compelling case for Purdue, both narratively, both historically, both on the court. I mean, again, they have the best player in college basketball. Like, I totally get the case for them. I need to see UConn lose before I'm going to pick them to lose.
And that's totally fair. That's totally fair. I mean, I would bet Purdue, plus the points. I'd bet a money line. But I mean, look, UConn does look better. I mean, they do look better. Have they really been challenged yet, though, in the tournament? Like, I know Illinois is a really good team and they really made them look suspect. But, before that, it's like Purdue's had to go through Gonzaga, really good. Had to go through Tennessee, really good. So they played a tough non-conference schedule. Both teams did. So we'll see. I don't know, Worm. Is it like really going to be this easy for UConn to repeat? Like, is somebody just not going to give them a game? We'll see what happens.
I don't know, but it sure looks that way, right?
It does.
I can't wait. I mean, if it is UConn Purdue, that is going to be a fantastic game. I have no doubt. So I'm excited to hopefully see that. PJ, thank you so much for coming on. What do you got going on this week at BetQL?
Yeah, so we'll have our show Send It In 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch it on Twitch, YouTube. You can watch it on X, Instagram, interactive show. People can chime in, give their comments. We'll talk, obviously, Final Four. We'll also talk MLB, NBA as well. And then I'll be on You Better You Bet tomorrow on Tuesday, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time as well. People want to check that out.
He is PJ Glasser from BetQL. Thank you so much for joining us for the last couple of weeks, PJ. We'll see if I can talk you into it. We won't have a show next week to preview the championship game, but we might be able to talk you into a TikTok live or something on the Betting Pros TikTok. So be sure to go follow us over there in case we get a little more tournament talk here before the end of everything. For PJ, I am Ryan Wormley. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in throughout March, and we'll maybe see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by
by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.